What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. It's a pleasure to speak to David Grantham, author. His new book is Consequences, An Intelligence Officer's War. This draws upon David's experiences in the Air Force when he was an armed federal officer in civilian clothes in Afghanistan at Bagram Air Base, and outside, his predecessor lost his life because of an IED. But he's now back to assignment, and the assignment takes him into, well, at the edge of Kuwait and Iraq, a place called Boka, which is on the road about 6 hours' drive from Baghdad. He deploys there in conditions that are organized. There's a prison at Camp Boka, but at the same time, this is the height of the murder squad known as Zarqawi, the height of it. Zarqawi was recruiting, we know now, everywhere, in the prisons, in the camps, in the terps, the interpreters, on the roads. Everybody driving out there was a potential recruit for Zarqawi. David, you go to Camp Boka, and your job is there is to work with a fellow officer, and the two of you have an assignment that is not obvious to me at first, and apparently it wasn't obvious to the U.S. Army when you arrived. And you spend some time to make it clear to us that the U.S. Army is not in sympathy with Air Force federal armed officers. Is that something that was because of the tension of the time, David, or is this a general understanding that the services work suspiciously together?
Yes, and there is a brotherhood among the military, and there is also competition within the branches. And part of that is derived just from pride. The other part is actually functional separation. So when we arrive at Camp Boka, we are armed federal agents who are not in uniform. And frankly, we are there to support military or Air Force assets, security forces especially. And that was not advertised well to the Army. So much of a deployment is spent, we call it mission creep, where you end up places you probably weren't initially assigned to, people who had no idea why you're there. And that was kind of the situation. There was a desperate need for counterintelligence support to protect our assets, much like we were doing in Kuwait, but also to understand how the prison was affecting radicalization and other things. So we were there to protect assets and to begin gathering information. We were the first OSI agents there. So you can only imagine the Army, who ran much of the administrative part of the base, were a bit dumbfounded to find two plainclothes officers from an obscure unit that most have never heard of there to collect intelligence on a threat that they weren't quite aware of. So there was a lot of explaining we had to do on the front end when we got there.
And your commanding officer was an Air Force Academy graduate. Introduce her, please.
Yes, Aaron and I had actually been together in Kuwait. And as I returned from Afghanistan, got together and learned fairly quickly that her and I would both be deploying to Camp Boka together. And she was a very sharp academy grad, very dependable, and I had all the trust in her as the commanding officer, and I was thrilled to go there with her because I thought the two of us would be able to handle the situation well, seeing that we didn't have lodging. We didn't have an office. We had a book bag or a box of supplies to carry with us, and that was about it. But both of us had the mentality of getting the job done regardless of the circumstances. And so I was proud to have served with her in that capacity.
There's a lot of humor here, David. We're allowed to mention the fact that you eventually had to share a single wide trailer that you identify should have been condemned with the Army, and you had to find a way to keep it secure, and it was impossible, of course. There's always humor on Army bases that are slapped together, but I got the sense at Boca, the same way I did at Bagram, that you were not all that well taken care of, that there wasn't luxury, there wasn't first-rate equipment, there weren't officers in charge of making sure the infrastructure of the base ran. Did I misread that, or were these things hodgepodge, slapped together with no sense of permanence?
Yes, and that's the nature of deployments in general. The support, the physical infrastructure is often there, and it's tiered by what your rank is. And so we had many young enlisted who worked in the prison. They would sleep in a massive communal tent, and the air condition would go out on that tent more often than they would like. And of course, it's I believe April by now, so the temperatures are sometimes reaching in the hundreds during the day. But this was typical of the military, and we jokingly say you embrace the suck. You take what's given to you and you just make the best of it as you can. So yes, the systems that were in existence weren't necessarily helpful either to living or to work, but that's kind of expected with a deployed environment. And obviously we would wish for it to be better. And I imagine now, if you talk to someone who deploys, the system has been in place for several years now and probably been upgraded significantly since I was there. But the function of our job required certain things that just couldn't be made available at a moment's notice. For example, a secret internet, we call it the SIPR. That had to be tied in a very specific way so we could share specific intelligence over this system. Those things come along once they know you're there, and they didn't know we were there until we were actually on the ground.
The book is Consequences, an Intelligence Officer's War. David Grantham is the author. David has now arrived in Iraq at the height of the power of Zarqawi and al-Qaeda. The murder squads are roaming the country at will. IEDs are routine supplied by the Iranian military. We know this now, the Al-Quds force of the IRGC. It's about as dangerous as the 21st century offers right now. When we come back, David and Aaron in the field. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Your inbox is blowing up and your stomach is growling louder than your team meeting. And somehow you're expected to function. Slide into 7-Eleven and grab a breakfast bundle. Grab any breakfast sandwich, like our delicious sausage, egg, and cheese waffle sandwich, waffle tots, and a Monster, Celsius, or Red Bull to jumpstart your day. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.